Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM. Talkspace.com/boom. B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Wizards, your daily Washington Wizards podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Ben Sandick here for another edition of the Locked On Wizards podcast, but not just another edition, the opening night edition of the Locked On Wizards podcast. Lo and behold, we get to talk about a Wizards win. Wizards get it done, 120-115 over the Philadelphia 76ers in a game that was very exciting for an opening night. A lot of action on both ends of the court. The Wizards had their chances to put this game away many times, and the Sixers continually said hell to the no. We're not letting you get away. These are not the abysmal 76ers. These are the Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, Markel Fultz, Robert Covington. We've got some talent on this team, 76ers. But ultimately, the Wizards had enough down the stretch. So what I've got for you today, Todd Divas will join me in just a second to break down this game. Plus, I've got audio from the locker room. Marcin Gortat talked about his game going up against Joel Embiid, and Ben Simmons from the 76ers locker room, who had a really nice game, his first game, the number one overall pick in the 2016 draft, missed last year with an injury. He played very well, so we'll get into all that here in just a quick second. As always, if you want to find any of our podcasts, you can go find it on iTunes or anywhere else you do your podcasting. Had a lot of good stuff, I think, in the last few days, interviews with experts, previews, all that good stuff, but the season is upon us, and we will be here to chronicle what happens between now and whenever the season ends for the Washington Wizards. So let me get going here, and with actually, let me read a couple stats just really quick while before I get to Todd. John Wall led the Wizards in scoring with 28 points. He did so only on 10 of 28 shooting, but he continually attacked, never let up. Had 18 in the second half. Bradley Beal 25 points. Big game from Marcin Gortat, 16 points and 17 rebounds. He had 10 points in the fourth quarter alone. Plus, Wizards got some nice contribution off the bench. Kelly Oubre and Jody Meeks, each with 14 points. Robert Covington had 29 for Philly. This game, the Wizards, there were multiple times they were up 8-9 points where it looked like they were about to end this thing. And that was including, you know, late in the fourth quarter, and yet they couldn't do it. Hold on, I'm pulling up the box score here. The Wizards were up. This is terrible podcasting. I always like to point that out when I suck. Okay, 115-108 Wizards with a little over 3 minutes to go. And before you knew it, Philly had it all the way down to 115-113 with 118 to go. The Wizards made 5 of 6 free throws in the end and held on. So let's get into this right now about what actually happened on the court with Todd Divas from the Washington Times. All right, as promised or as threatened, here is Todd Divas from the Washington Times. Todd, I already sort of laid out the basics. Wizards, they won, so let's just get that out of the way. I read off a bunch of the stats. I guess we could just do a little good-bad situation just to be really basic here. The good, beyond the fact that they won, what was the number one good thing for you other than the fact that they finished with more points?
I would say that it's that they scored 120 points and weren't all that effective offensively, which sounds bizarre to say, but they didn't shoot threes well. They didn't even shoot all that many, and they didn't score. They scored 4 points on the break, which is astonishing to me, and I'm always a little curious about how that's determined, what was a fast break point, what was not. But anyway... The official score sheet says they only had four.
They had zero at halftime. Right. I was like telling you, I was like, look, I'm looking at the score. I'm like, I don't think, is this right? They have zero. They were losing, it was 14-0 Philly with fast break points. Like, is that possible?
Right. So, and then, but they, and yet they finished with 120 points on a night when those two things happened. Bradley Beal said he didn't think he played well. He had a lot of good looks early on when he started 1-for-5, and the one was a dunk. The other four, I think he would take every day. So that they, yeah, rolled up 120 points against a Philly team that may not have its act together yet, certainly with all these new pieces and all the young guys, but we even saw this last year. They play hard. So you have to be pleased if you're Scott Brooks. You got, and this is also no Markieff Morris, and then eventually no Jason Smith. So you're really getting deep in the rotation right away with all the new guys, a lot of bench players playing a long time. And you still roll up 120 points. So
yeah,
was the thing that jumped out to me.
I mean, Wall and Beal were a combined 16-for-43 from the field. Otto made one shot after the first quarter. Jason Smith, starting power forward, never scored. I tell you all that, and they shot 6-of-22 from three. That doesn't sound like a winning scenario, but they go 30-for-38 from the free throw line. I mean, Bradley Beal, how many times did we used to say he doesn't get to the line enough?
Right.
12-for-16. I mean, some of that was late when Philly was fouling, but nonetheless, that's getting there a lot. By the way, Meek's also 7-for-7. We talk a lot about what he's going to do as a 3-point threat. He got to the line a bunch, and look, getting to the free throw line is a good thing. I mean, that's what you want to do. You want to draw those fouls. I thought there was a point a lot in the first half where Wall seemingly kept trying to go for the foul call and would take these wild shots at the basket, you know, going out of control, and the refs weren't giving it to him. But nonetheless, he got there, made 8 and 9 as well. But yeah, I guess I would say, yeah, my number one thing was just to say resilience, that it's not a night where things are going perfectly. And Philly, I mean, the Wizards were up 3 or 4 times, up 8 or 9 points. That should have been the death knell, especially with the way Philly has been historically. And instead, they kept coming back, including at the very end, got it to 2 points. And, I mean, look, Philly had the ball twice with the chance to go up, and they committed turnovers, you know, the kind of turnovers where maybe a little more veteran team isn't as sloppy. So,
yeah, if you're going to get in the Wizards, the way they're constructed now, if you're going to get in a match game with them and you're Philadelphia, uber young Philadelphia, that's a game that the Wizards should definitely win on their home floor, and they eked it out there at the end.
So other good things, I thought, Marcin Gortat, I mean, he had 11 rebounds in like the first, like, I don't know, the first 11 minutes he played or something like that. He finishes 16-17. He had 10 points in the fourth quarter, 7-of-12 from the field. Fans get on him a lot because he doesn't score a lot. His response to that is, hey, basically bite me. I don't get the ball to score. I'm doing all the other stuff. In this case, in the fourth quarter, he did. Brooks said after the game that he's talked to Gortat in the past, but hey, look, just do your role thing. We've got guys in the perimeter.
Do your role, which is to roll.
Yes, exactly, yes. And we've got guys who will get you the ball, and that happened a lot tonight. And
if people are concerned about how much Gortat is scoring in this system, then I would argue to them they are very much concerned about the wrong things and the non-priorities for what he's being asked to do here.
The other thing I put in the good category, Todd, and I know you are going to be very happy that this is a positive thing we're talking about. Got to give it up to Kelly Oubre. He had a good game, 14 points, 3 threes. That matches his career high, 8 rebounds. Yes, there's still some wild moments where he's dribbling in too deep, or gets lost on defense or what have you. And look, he's 21, and that's not an excuse. He's a professional, blah, 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 blah. And it's only one game from the other side, so let's not go too crazy. But in the preseason, we saw him be a little better with the three, a little better with his right hand, which was non-existent last year. And offensively, at least, it felt like, you know, he was a little more of a force out there positively in that realm. And defensively, again, he's long and all that crap. So good start for him. I talked to him the other day. He talked about how he was still pissed off about having not played in game 6 or 7, not at Brooks, but pissed off that he basically screwed up enough that they didn't want to play him, and he vowed that that wasn't going to happen again, and he was on the court late, in part because of the injuries, but also because he played well.
Yeah, and I thought what he did well tonight was he paid attention and did the things that they've been asking him to do for 2 years. This is be excessively active, be there for, you know, his that huge putback dunk he had. That's be there weak side rebounding, right? He had a nice in-traffic rebound late in the game. Exploit your athleticism. Exploit your length. Not necessarily on offense and, you know, in an isolation situation. Exploit that as you go around the court. And I thought he did that a few times tonight. It's going to take, you'll be surprised to hear this, it's going to take a way larger sample size for me to be convinced about his three-point shooting. So we'll see how that works out for him. Look, if he's going to be 14-8 and 35%, I mean, even we'll give him 12-5 and 35% from three, that's a huge leap for him, and reliable.
If that happens and everybody else stays healthy, they win 55 games.
Right. That's going to be – it would be an enormous, enormous factor for them. So, as you said, a good start for him. I will make an enormous sample size argument here. So, for a night.
Yeah. Hey, good start. That's all we can say.
Yeah.
All right. We won't say the bad side, but on the side of things – boy, man, it really felt like deja vu all over again. Second and fourth quarter, the starters are out. The Wizards have a healthy lead. The bench is in, and immediately it goes away. Now, in this case, they were playing in both cases against Philadelphia starters, and there was no Wizard starters on the court. It was the second unit. And look, without Jason Smith, things got already no Markieff Morris. Now that Jason Smith, they lost him in the first quarter. If I didn't already say this, I think I did, but he left with a shoulder injury, which Todd will give us info on in a second. But that screwed things up. But beyond that, it just went away again. I've mentioned your concerns here already that, like, they don't have a go-to score with that second unit. That's a problem. I didn't look at tonight and think to myself, boy, the bench is awful. Here we go again. I kind of looked at it, like, in twofold. One, I just didn't get why Brooks stuck with all bench guys. He went five in, five out, more or less, especially when Philly's making that run. You saw in the second quarter what happened, yet he did it again in the fourth. I didn't get why he couldn't at least put Otto Porter in there. But again, you're shorthanded. So I'm not going to, again, this small sample size, I'm not going to say, oh, boy, we got it. It's a disaster. Nothing's changed. It's still a mess. But that was a very much of a deja vu all over again situation.
That was the lead thing that I wrote about, and I said that all too familiar scene of the bench either giving a lead back or allowing the other team to grow his lead when there are five bench guys on. But like you said, there are, since this opening night and everything we're going to talk about tonight requires 100 caveats because it's one game, that kind of applies double here because there was no Morris and then Jason Smith was hurt. So Brooks was quickly moving down the line with a bunch of new parts there, right? You know, instead of the nine new players situation from last year, it's the starters, we know what they're doing, and they're fine, but the bench is a bunch of new parts again, along with the only holdover is the aforementioned 21-year-old who, you know, fluctuates. So, I was troubled by it in the preseason. What I saw tonight kind of confirmed what I was concerned about in the preseason. I'm going to remain concerned about it. Like, I hate to say this because this is a bad example, and so I probably shouldn't even say it. What are they going to do against Golden State? That's in a week?
Well, what, you know, last year...
What are the options going to be?
I mean, last year, a lot of times, Brooks would go with Markieff Morris starting the second quarter with the backups. Now, obviously, that's not an option here. So that's something to consider down the line. And I don't know, I'm never a big fan of the all-starters sit approach. Mm-hmm. And in this particular case, I didn't make a lot of sense to me. And also, it seems like this is a chance. If Otto Porter his game has expanded to the way that people are saying that it has with his dribble and all that,
use him.
Let Oubre play with the starters if that's sort of the trade-off. And then have Otto be out there play them both. Otto played 33 minutes. I'm not saying he's going to play 40 game one, but, you know, I don't know, to switch the minutes up. And by the way, when the Wizards had their bench in there, Philly had at least four starters, I felt like, both times. So they
they kind of put them back out there.
Yeah, so they worked it out somehow that they, you know, were able to flip their rotation that way. So
with a guy on a supposed minutes restriction in Embiid.
Yeah. And speaking of him, I want to get into the Philly here in just a second, but I'm going to play sound right now. Here's Marcin Gortat after the game talking about the win and going up against the aforementioned Joel Embiid.
You get the win. That's what counts. How do you feel things went for you guys ultimately? It didn't came down to the last second, obviously.
Yeah. Well, the most important thing, we got to win. And obviously, I mean, Philly's a very talented team. You know, they've been proving every year. You know, they start collecting that experience, and they become, you know, a very good team. And it's not going to be that easy like it used to be for 2 or 3 years ago. They have a great team, a lot of young players, a lot of energy. You know, a few veterans like JJ Redick, and I'm glad we came up with a win.
You guys already down Markieff, then Jason goes out in the first quarter. What did that do to you guys, especially inside?
Well, another guy has to step in. Another guy has to step in, play big for us, and, you know, each one of us has to take care of our body. You know, I think Jason, I don't think it's anything serious, so hopefully he's going to be back. But, yeah, I mean, we just got to take care of, you know, our body and then make sure we're ready to play.
Once you think back to last year, this home court, you know, you won 30 games, but you had 17 in a row at one point. Mm-hmm. The importance of getting these first ones here before you go out on that West Coast trip.
Well, to have a great start, we all know we have to win games at home. That's the first thing. And two, we would like to have a good schedule. You know, going on the West Coast trip, literally the third game of the season, where I think we're going to have Golden State and a few other tough teams, it's not going to be easy. So we definitely got to get those first games, get those wins, protect the home court, and then we're going to go out there and try to do our best.
17 rebounds for you this evening. They've got a lot of bigs with length. What was the key for you tonight to really get things done?
I'm just fighting for my respect. Every day I'm coming here trying to do my best. There's a lot of young guys behind my back trying to take my job. I'm trying to survive in this league. Like I said before, I ain't going to shoot threes. You ain't going to see me doing that. Even that I want to, I'm not going to shoot it. And I'm just glad I did that. Wearing initials of the greatest player of Poland, Adam Bucci, who passed away from leukemia. I had his initials on my shoes, and I'm glad in the first game we came up with a win, I came up with a 17 win. So, you know, I dedicate this game to him.
You mentioned young guys. Obviously, there's a lot of attention on Embiid. How excited were you to get out there for this first one against him?
Listen, I'm not going to say anything bad about him. He's, he's a very talented big. He got a huge frame, and, he's very skilled. We won the first game, and hopefully I'm going to play like this every game against him. He's a rising star in this league.
I think you had 10 of your 16 in the fourth quarter. What was working so well for you in the fourth?
I think it's just we just continue to play our game. We know that sooner or later John's going to continue to, you know, he's going to start picking people apart. I mean, pick the team apart, and he's going to start throwing, you know, great passes. And I was able to finish a few of them. And, you know, I put myself in a position to rebound the ball. We continue to do what works for us. And that's how we got to play. You know, if they're not going to throw it to me, somebody else got to be open. So
what would it mean for the bench if Kelly can kind of, especially offensively, can kind of duplicate what he did tonight?
Well, I mean, Kelly just, you know, Kelly's Kelly. You know, volcano of energy. And obviously, sometimes he's a hothead. But, you know, it's just, you know, we love what he do, you know. He just got to understand that, you know, with the starters, he got to play a little bit different way than he's going to play in the second unit. But he's doing a tremendous job. We love what he's doing. And, you know, that right hand improved. He already had like 4 layups this year in a practice.
All right, thanks, Marcus. Thank you.
All right, guys.
Thanks, man. So, good stuff there from Gortat. Let's talk about Philly for a quick second before we get this up. Holy hell, I would buy, like, if the Sixers were a stock, I would have already bought so many shares 2 years ago. It would have been, I would just be all in Philly swag, because I would have spent all my money. I wouldn't have any money to buy real clothes. I would just hope that with the stock I bought, I would just get some Philly gear. And tonight was one of those nights where my lead, what I wrote was, it's a rare night where both teams left the game happy. The Wizards win, but over in the Sixers side, Brett Brown couldn't have been giddier. Ben Simmons was like, wow, I can't believe I finally got the play. He obviously missed all of last year. Mm-hmm. You know, Embiid, you know, I mean, 18 points, 13 rebounds. Here's what he had to say after the game.
27 minutes.
Yeah, 27 minutes more than we thought. His quote after the game was the following. All right, Embiid after the game said, talking about the Sixers this year, quote, I think we have a chance. We are still learning. Oh, wait, that's not the quote I wanted. No, forget that quote. Different quote. here it is. On losing to this game, it's tough, but Washington is one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference. The positives I see after this game is just they're one of the best in the East, and we stacked up with them, and that's when we, I assume he means he, play fewer minutes. I mean, again, it's one game, and the Wizards were shorthanded. They don't have Markieff Morris, and even if so therefore, even if Embiid's playing fewer minutes than he ultimately will, Wizards weren't at full strength. I mean, every time I look down the court, I'm like, well, good Lord, Philly has, like, so many guys. Like, post-game, when I was trying to figure out how to write my story, you got Embiid, who's one of the biggest stars in the league right now. Everybody's excited about him. Then you got Ben Simmons, who's probably the favorite for rookie of the year after missing last year. Oh, and by the way, the number one pick in this year's draft is Markelle Fultz, and he was the complete afterthought. Coming off the bench. He clearly looks hurt, by the way. I don't really understand what's going on there.
Yeah, well, that's kind of his style, though, too. His style is very smooth,
but I mean, his
non-flash style.
But I mean, those free throws videos we saw were points in the preseason, and there was a play, I remember, he went in for a layup easily. It felt like he could have gone in for a dunk if you're a 6'4 NBA player, mm-hmm. and he really just kind of passively laid it in. I don't know, he doesn't look healthy. In any event, Philly, I mean, you know, not even mentioning, Robert Covington was their best player tonight. He had 29 points, 7-11 from three. You know, Dario Saric is a good player. You know, they even used Jahlil Okafor. By the way, if you hear all the random ambient noise in the background, Todd and I think for this year, Todd, we typically use the Wizards media room to do these podcasts. I think we have to figure something else out. Like, every time we're in here, somebody comes in.
There's not a quiet place in this entire arena.
But I think that other room over there, like, I think we have more hope of nobody going in.
All right.
I don't know. We'll go back to our old seats. I don't know. Something. But in any event, I just think Philly, I mean, I'll put you on the spot. Better bet to make the Eastern Conference. Well, no, better bet to make the NBA Finals in the next five years. The Wizards or the Sixers?
Well, a lot of moving parts in the next 5 years. To make the NBA Finals.
Right. I didn't say East because the Wizards could get right there this year.
Yeah, no, I would take the Wizards. I still would. I just because their continuity is going to be the same for the next 3 years. And at some point, they're going to get some bench help, maybe, sort of, somehow, maybe, someday, somehow. So, yeah, I would take them for now because, Philly, it's not happening for Philly this year. And they need to figure out, like, are Fultz and Simmons compatible? Probably. But they still need to figure that out. And B needs to stay healthy. There's a lot of layers there to figure out still for them. So I wrote that instead of the process, it's now kind of the payoff. The payoff has begun. The process is over. Everybody's here. Now it's up to Brett Brown to merge all those guys and head toward that payoff.
All right, and speaking of those guys, here's some sound. Ben Simmons talked about what it was like to get out there after missing all of last year with a foot injury.
We're getting there. It's exciting to see that. Didn't get from it, obviously, but I just know this team can be special. I'm looking forward to seeing how far we can get.
You look pretty comfortable out there for the first time out.
It's my job. I've been doing it my whole life.
Your health feels good? Everything feels good?
Yeah, I feel great.
Did you think you were able to get him in transition a few times, whether that was off a steal, finding shooters?
Yeah, definitely. I always use my speed and then size to advantage, and I think I did a good job of that tonight. But could have done a few more times, maybe we won, but I mean, we're going to get there.
Having to wait all the
year for this? I felt like I was playing 2K, honestly. Just looking at it. See, Embiid out there with the lights on his jersey. I'm actually here, but it's fun. I'm enjoying it. A lot of games left, so I'm looking forward to it.
Every time it seemed like they were trying to pull away, you guys came right back. What led you guys to kind of keep with them up until the very end?
I mean, that's Philly. That's how we're going to play. We're going to play tough, hard. That's just Philly.
Did you and Joel on the court?
All right, there you have it. I mean, the fact that Ben Simmons is, like, arguably, I don't even know if he's arguably not the most interesting player on this team, maybe not the third most, depending on what you think of Fultz, says a lot about what the talent Philly has. In any event, this is a Wizards podcast. The Wizards win. They did what they had to do. Quick thing before we get out of here. Jason Smith, you said you talked to him after the game. People should go read what you wrote on the Washington Times, so let me not step on that. But at a base level, what's your sense of the seriousness of it, and if he were to miss time, what do we think the Wizards would do?
They
played Friday, by the way, against the Pistons.
Yeah, he said that he felt all right after the game. He tried to put on his suit coat and couldn't raise his right arm above his shoulder. And he mentioned that 5 years ago, he tore the labrum in the same shoulder on the exact play that he was injured tonight. Tonight he tried to block an Embiid dunk attempt. 5 years ago in New Orleans, he tried to block a dunk attempt. His arm went back too far. He initially then tried to play through the pain, and then in March they finally shut him down, and he had shoulder surgery. So he said, quote, "doesn't feel like that. You never know, though." And he suggested that they were being precautionary tonight, which we always hear anytime any athlete is injured on any level, unless it's something grotesque and severe, Gordon Hayward style. So anything else is quote-unquote precautionary, and that's why he didn't come back. And then he wasn't sure if he's going to have an MRI Thursday, but he'll certainly have further exams, and obviously this is something we'll be chatting with Brooks about tomorrow. I do think, back to Oubre, that one, you know, this one-night flash of he might be able to blend well with the starters, they'll try to survive a bit with that. But they're going to need some size, too, at some point. And you don't want to start beating up Otto Porter at the four, I don't think, the first week of the season.
And also, if we're saying that the bench struggles to score, now we're going to say Kelly Oubre leaves the bench. Yeah. Like, I think that's something to consider. To me, this is one of those scenarios where I almost view it as leave the bench alone, take somebody else. The problem is, who's the somebody else? Chris McCullough?
No.
Literally, they don't really have, literally.
It would have to be Scott, and then.
But even that, I mean, that sort of messes with it too. But right, I'm just saying, they literally, to go deep, the only other guys they even have right now are Chris McCullough and Satoransky, unless they were to bring up Mike Young, but that's not going to be a thing either. By the way, I'll just quickly mention, Mike Young will be going to the Delaware 87ers, he told me. Not a surprise, the closest G League team around. He'll be going there, though, basically next week. So there's that. All right. I got to go buy Todd a drink. So that's it. Thank you guys for listening. Go follow Todd on Twitter if you care. I don't know.
If you like underscores.
Ugh, nobody does. At Todd_Divas. And if you don't know my Twitter handle by now, I don't know what to say. All right. Until next time. See ya.
Deal gets open for three. Dagger!
Wolf Prime, off balance shot. Dagger!